Let's start our business meeting with our own mom of our, one of our moms of our family, at least that's how I see Gussie, to start us off in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, thank you, thank you, because of who you are. We praise you this morning for an opportunity to be here. We praise you for things that went as well as they have been. We've had a great convention, and we praise you for it. Touch every individual, every home, every family that's in here. We need you. In the time that we're in, we need strength for our bodies, our mind, and our spirits. We need you to lead and guide us. And in our convention, and even in the last part, we need you. Even as we travel going home this morning, Father, we need you. On the highways, however we are going home, we need your help and your protection. And cover us. Your angels encamp around us. And this morning, we pray for our presidents and all of those, second vice president, first vice president. Every officer that was elected, do it again, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Okay, I'm cautiously going around the speaker again. Gabe says, watch the wires. Do they do tricks? Just keep watching them. He says they might. All righty. Let us... Oh, Ed's still running around, so... We'll go ahead and start this meeting off with having Gabe read the minutes of our previous business meetings. Gabe. We need to turn Gabe's mic on.
Mine's working. If somebody wants to hold it, mine's working.
They're putting him up.
Okay, you can hear me now? All right. I had the mic, it wasn't on. All right, so this is the last time that you guys have to listen to me read these minutes. But... I want to start off by saying congratulations to Judy, and it's been a privilege to be the CCB secretary for the last several years, and I think I've learned a lot, and hopefully I've been able to do justice to the minutes and capture everything that's needed. And with that being said, here we go with the spring 2013 business meeting minutes of the California Council of the Blind. And for the Friday evening portion of the session, start off with the credentials report. Pampology gave the credentials report. The chapters not seated were Antelope Valley, Butte County, Coachella Valley, High Desert Chapter, Inland Empire Chapter, San Bernardino Chapter, San Mateo, and Yosemite Gateway. Motion, it was moved and seconded to accept the report. The motion passed unanimously. That was it for the Friday evening. Saturday, we had the nominations committee report. Pampology gave that report. The slate of candidates includes for second vice president, Roger Peterson, secretary, Judy Wilkinson, and for board members, it was Artis Bazin, Linda Perel, Vita Zavoli, Robert Wendt, and John Ross. Motion, it was moved and seconded to accept the nominations committee Report, the motion passed. Muttstrut report. Frank Welty gave this report. He talked about the three regional events, when they would be, where they would be, and more. All regions will have timed runs. He urged other chapters who aren't near one of the three regions to try and find other ways of supporting the Muttstrut. There was no action taken on this item. Conference and Convention Transition Task Force. The Convention Task Force included Gene Lozano, Peter Pardini, and Jeff Tom. The Constitution Group included Gabe Griffith, Jerry Consular, and Mitch Pomerantz. Donna Pomerantz and Roger Peterson served on both groups. Gabe gave the second reading of several constitutional amendments. The following amendments were passed. Article 4.9, Newell Perry, endowment. Article 5, meetings. Article 11.11, dues. Article 11.12, financial statements. Article 14.1, dues delinquency. And bylaws, Article 1.14, nominations committee participation. Article 1, nominations committee meetings. Gabe then gave the first reading of other amendments, which included Article 7, constitutional amendments, Article 4.3, Newell Perry Trust, Article 14.4, officers' terms. Motion. Jeff moved to accept the Constitution and Bylaws Committee report. The motion was seconded and it passed. Donna then read some of the highlights of the report from the Convention Logistics Task Force group. Some of these included increasing registration prices, having a board meeting with a plated lunch, groups attending the convention, and others. There were several thoughts and concerns expressed by convention attendees. There was no action taken on this item. Sunday, we started with minutes. Gabe Griffith read the business meeting minutes from fall 2012. Motion. It was moved and seconded to approve the minutes. The motion passed. Okay. Governmental affairs. Jeff Tom gave a governmental affairs report. He talked about Capitol Day, who attended, and what they covered. He discussed the various legislative imperatives the committee is working on. Motion. It was moved and seconded to accept the report. The motion passed with some discussion. Treasurer's report. Peter Pardini gave the report. In 2012, the total net income less expenses was a positive $97,486.86. He then talked about the financial situation through March 31st, 2013. Motion. It was moved and seconded to accept the... All right. Sorry, I just got a microphone shoved in my face. So that's the pause. Okay. If I sound funny, then don't worry. Let's see. It was moved and seconded to accept the treasurer's report. The motion passed unanimously. Resolutions. Jeff gave this report. The following is a listing of resolutions and what action was taken. Resolution 2013-A1, State Guide Dog Board, referred to a task force. Resolution 2013-A2, Cycle Tracks, passed. Resolution 2013-A3, Guide Dogs for the Blind Training Practices, passed. Resolution 2013-A4, State Guide Dog Board, referred to a task force. Resolution 2013-A5, PDF documents, passed. Resolution 2013-A6, blind... purple. What is that? Oh, blind people serving on juries. That passed. Resolution 2013-A7, volunteers, passed. Resolution 2013-A8, hotel appreciation, passed. It was moved and seconded to accept the Resolutions Committee report. Motion passed. History. Kathy Skivers gave a progress report of the history of CCB project. They are still trying to organize all the information they have collected. It will be available in various formats once it is completed. There was no action taken on this item. Or, I'm sorry, on this progress report. Committee reports. Peter gave an update on the budget committee. He discussed projected income and expenses versus actual expenses and income. This year is not projected to be a balanced budget. Old business. There was no old business. New business. Linda Perel reminded people of the survey on the BC, or on BC readers and access modes. Robert Wendt reminded people that it is still possible to apply for scholarships. Vita Zavali announced a survey asking membership what they would like to see on the website. Gigi, and I don't remember Gigi's last name or how to spell it, if anybody can help me on that. How do you spell that? M-A-R-I-E. Okay, got it. Thank you. Announced that the Redwood Empire chapter is having a picnic called the Happy Dog Days of Summer to support the Mutt Strut. The next convention will be held from October 17th through the 20th of 2013 in San Diego. Motion, it was moved and seconded to adjourn the meeting. The motion passed unanimously. Respectfully submitted, Gabe Griffith, CCB Secretary.
Okay, do we have a motion? We have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion?
Madam President?
Jeff?
I think this may have been a reading error, or maybe I heard it wrong. My hearing has, as my wife will tell you, is not what it once was.
That's called husband's disease. Oh, sorry.
There's part of that, too. That's only during the football and baseball and basketball seasons. So I think, Gabe, when we referred to the constitutional amendments that had their first reading, you referred to the one on constitutional amendments as Article 7. I believe that's Article 17.
You're right.
Any other discussion? Okay, we have a lady here on my right.
And then Linda.
And who is that?
Pam and then Linda.
Okay, if we can get, if you can stand so that Ed can, oh, okay, don't. Yes, Pam, apologies, someone called for her.
Maybe I missed it, and I'm sorry if I did, because I did, during the Sunday, I did announce these dates of this convention, and I did announce when the credentials were due. So I'm not sure how that got missed, or maybe I missed you saying it. I'm not sure.
No,
thank you.
I think it was just missed. I'll get it put in there.
Thank you, Pam.
Gabe, I didn't remind people about a BC survey. I announced an upcoming BC survey.
Okay.
I feel like we're in the resolutions committee. But it's all true. Any other discussion? Actually, we're calling for amendments, so. But I guess that's in discussion. Hearing none. All those in favor of approval of the minutes as amended, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Jean abstains? Motion carries. Thank you. We are moving now, so I hope everyone has their badge with their orange dot, to the committee report of the Constitution and Bylaws Committee. So we'll give the microphone over to Gabe again. He'll be there in a minute. How about a door prize?
You want to do a door prize?
Yay, door prize! Okay, so what we're going to do is take a bag from over there. Okay. Over there. See, I was talking to Ed. You know, he's a sighted person, so I can say, over there. And I kind of pointed. So in this bag, it's a Muttstrut 2012 bag. There's also a chill mat. And do we, chill mat and a bandana? And a, oh, and one of those really cool bone, waste bag dispensers for the puppies. Puppies, poopies. All righty. Let me draw that. Oh, I hear barking. Cool.
Gail Crossan.
Who is it?
Gail
Crossan, are you in the room? Yay! All right. But you know what? I bet you, yeah, I was just going to say.
Unusual person.
And there's only one person, so all the other volunteers are probably busy helping people, or do we have a second up here to help Ed? Okay, okay. Let's do one more door prize. Do we have some money? Yeah, because Ed's doing all this on his own and takes longer that way. Okay, what do we have? All right. So what we're going to do, let me let you guys know what we have in cash here. We have a $25 prize from Bayview. And at the very end of the business meeting, we are going to draw for a $50 cash prize right before we adjourn. Okay, so stick around, Mary Lou says. Okay, let's have Jeff pick that name so that when he picks me or Mitch, I won't get in trouble. Oh. Andy Baracco, are you in the room? Not yet. And also, you're going to get a Muttstrut shirt of your size. So I'm going to... Rick Plath, are you in the room? Mary Lou. He's trying again. when you take... Eric Calhoun, are you in the room? Nope. He's here at convention. He was. When you take the cash prize to the person, find out what size Mutt Strut shirt that they wear. Les Sabotnik. Les already has one, actually, because he was there with us that day. A Mutt Strut shirt, anyway. $25 in cash and a Mutt Strut t-shirt. Vivian Younger. Andrea Pitzenberger.
Hey, Andrea.
Well, and actually, I was also going to get you a Mutt Strut bag with a chill pad as well. Yes. Yes, yes.
Wow.
All righty. Margie says, but does she want it? Yes, you did. Does she have a mutt? She has kitty. She's kitty mama. All righty. Gabe, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All righty. We'll take a break from the door prizes, and we will give it to Gabe Griffith, our Constitution and Bylaws Chair. Gabe?
Okay. This will probably not be the last time you hear from me on these. Okay, this will be the second reading of amendments, and then this is the one where we will have discussion and voting. This is on Article 8, Chapter Affiliation. The first item is Section 8.2. The original language is, to apply for affiliation with the California Council of the Blind, the group desiring to be affiliated shall submit to the president and treasurer of the council a copy of its constitution and a list of the names and addresses of its members. The officers of the group shall be indicated on the list if the council, either in convention assembled or by action of the board of directors, approves the affiliation. The council president shall issue to the accepted group a certificate of affiliation. Changes. After members and before the sentence beginning with if, do the following. Add and phone number, email address, if any, format of choice, and vision status, i.e. blind, low vision, or sighted. And then we will also delete, the officers of the group shall be indicated on the list, and we will insert, an officer information sheet must be submitted, which includes all officers' names, addresses, phone numbers, and email addresses, if any, as well as information requested for the CCB website and CCB email discussion lists. So the proposed language would read, Section 8.2, to apply for affiliation with the California Council of the Blind, the group desiring to be affiliated shall submit to the president and treasurer of the council a copy of its constitution and a list of the names, addresses, phone number, email address, if any, format of choice, and vision status, i.e. blind, low vision, or sighted, of its members. An officer information sheet shall be submitted, which includes all officers' names, addresses, phone numbers, and email addresses, if any, as well as information requested for the CCB website and CCB email discussion lists. If the council, either in a convention assembled or by action of the board of directors, approves the affiliation, the council president shall issue to the accepted group a certificate of affiliation. The Constitution and Bylaws Committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Okay, we have motion and a second. I hear discussion. Mitch Pomerantz, if we can get him a mic. Please stand. He's up. You are in your snake shirt. Yes, it's purple, and he was playing with a baby python in South Africa years ago wearing that shirt.
Yep. Have the picture in our office.
Yes. Go ahead.
Gabe, and I brought this up yesterday, and I don't want to take a whole lot of time. What I'd like to propose, if the committee would accept it as a friendly amendment, is substitute the phrase president and treasurer for the phrase secretary in care of the office of the California Council of the Blind. I'm sorry?
No, it's okay.
No. I think that as far as I'm concerned, that would probably be acceptable.
Very good.
Because it's care of the office anyway, so...
That's correct. And the secretary really is the appropriate person. Secretary handles correspondence and all relevant paperwork relative to the organization.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I know that this committee said president and treasurer because that's exactly who is supposed to do it in other areas of our Constitution and such. So I think you guys are probably trying to, you know, go by consistency with our Constitution.
And actually, yes, because that was the original language in there.
Yes. What I would like to ask also is that the president be added to this. So it would be president and secretary.
So basically we're changing president and treasurer to president and secretary in care of the CCB office?
Yes. Artis.
Okay, I have a question, and maybe this is technical, but I don't know that the secretary actually sees all these things. Doesn't the office generally handle it? And I know that if there's some issues with documents, it's usually referred to the membership committee to help assist. So I don't know if you even need the secretary in there. Wouldn't president in the office be sufficient?
It gets forwarded.
The secretary, you're correct. Logistically, the secretary doesn't see them, and it gets forwarded to actually even beyond just the president. So logistically, the secretary wouldn't see them. Okay, Margie and then Mitch.
What I'm talking about future, not what's been done in the past, but we elect a secretary for a purpose, and that secretary should be actively involved with those types of things, and I'm speaking in favor of the motion to amend to include the secretary and the president. Thank you.
Well, Margie said most of what I was going to say. Look.
Yes.
You know, I made a comment the other day about tradition, but I'm really not all that hidebound. Folks, you're going to get a stiff neck if all you ever do is look backwards. I am telling you... I am telling you that every organization's secretary, not the treasurer, and I'm sorry, Madam President, not the president, deals with this paperwork. Several candidates recently said they want to see CCB run as a business. That's how you run it as a business, by allowing the secretary to do what the secretary is empowered to do under Robert's Rules of Order.
Correct.
Okay, so since now the person that said the amendment was friendly doesn't necessarily sound very friendly, but we know he is.
I have my moments.
Oh, okay. So any more discussion? Hearing none. John Mavis. Wait a minute. You have to wait. Wait, wait, wait. John, you have to. Okay. Hold on, folks. They're turning it on. And you have to put it. That's okay.
Just let him speak.
It's on now.
Okay, now. Anybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Been a long time since I've gotten on the floor and said anything, but I think you're overlooking a point. The president of an organization is in charge of all committees and considering in all of them. I don't think you need to have to be spelled out in the bylaws where the president, if it's the secretary's duty to take care of the secretarial's work, then they should do that. I would go along with Mitch and agree into that, and we should have to don't need to add the president's name in because the president, automatically by Robert Rules of Order, is already there. Thank you for listening to me.
Okay. Thank you. Any more discussion? All those in favor of... It was friendly. It was a friendly amendment, and so therefore it is part of the motion. All those in favor of...
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Thank you. Motion carries. Mr. Chair, continue, please. Maybe I should have had those bottles of wine for this morning, huh? Virgin mimosas, which is orange juice. Okay, Mr. Chair, whenever you're set.
Okay, I was just trying to get back to my spot and put a note. Okay, the second item is going to be on Article 8, Section 6. And it currently reads, Section 8.6, each chapter of the council shall notify the council president of election results in writing after each chapter election or after...
Gabe's battery went out.
Okay.
There we go.
Thanks, Ed. In writing after each chapter election or after any change of officers in such chapter. Changes are at the end of the section, add in accordance with the bylaws. So the proposed language would say, Section 8.6, each chapter of the council shall notify the council president of election results in writing after each chapter election or after any change of officers in such chapter in accordance with the bylaws. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Do we have a second? Margie seconds, and we're not discussing. Okay. Margie seconds. Actually, no, Margie firsts. And do we have a second? We have a second, if we could get a mic to Margie for her comment in discussion.
Okay, again, a friendly amendment, and I believe it should go to the secretary. Doesn't the amendment say the president? It should go to the secretary. The secretary is in charge of all of our correspondences, and then the secretary needs to pass that, which obviously would, onto the office for management of necessary business. So my friendly amendment is to remove president and have secretary.
Madam President, can I take a...
Go ahead, Gabe. Gabe is chair. Hold on. Go ahead.
Margie, would you be acceptable to what we said in the last one and say...
Yes, President and Secretary.
President and Secretary in care of the office.
Okay, that is... Andrea's calling for the floor.
Okay, this is probably a really stupid question, so my apologies in advance.
And if we can have quiet, please.
So that don't we already, we do this already because we fill out the officer information sheets, right? And assumably that happens, well, it happens twice a year now, but it's going to happen once a year when, so would this cover a case where it wasn't close, because all chapters have elections at different times. So I assume that's why we're doing it this way, because we're already doing this.
Madam President, may I respond to that?
Okay, go ahead, Gabe.
So, Andrew, what it is that the Constitution currently requires chapters to submit changes of roster whenever that stuff changes. What we're doing with this, combined with the bylaw that we're introducing, is to actually
can we have order on the floor, please?
Basically, we're just trying to codify and put in writing the requirement for an officer information sheet that's not in the Constitution currently.
Madam President, who called first? I heard Gene. Steve, but someone else called.
Gene,
and then Steve.
We have a very unique board, and the role of the president is not the traditional role because we do not have an executive director. The president is not only the overseeing the policy-making board, but is also the executive director of the office. And I understand there's a recording secretary and there's a corresponding secretary and a lot of businesses and groups there. But I think we need to keep the president involved in this thing. Day-to-day operation is under the control of the president, and you know, we need to have the continuity and uniformity throughout the whole operation. I think before we start making some additional major changes, we maybe then need to sit down and really hammer out the duties and responsibilities and the job description, not just Robert rules, but of what are these officers' responsibilities that are unique to this organization. So
order on the floor, please.
So I right now feel that I'm not going to object about the secretary, but if there's a movement to eliminate the president, I really have a...
What ended up happening was they allowed for president to be put back in there on all of this language. So thank you very much.
Okay.
Steve Mendelson.
Does the reference to chapters include statewide affiliates, and if not, should it?
Okay. I think that we have decided in the past that by inference it refers to chapters and statewide affiliates, so... But if everybody likes, we can specify chapter and affiliate.
Okay. Yes.
There's lots of places, Steve, that we probably need to clean it up. And I think the best way to do it, instead of doing it today in one or two spots, would be to have the committee, and I'm not a part of the committee, but we did discuss it.
Yeah.
To clean up all those places subsequently, like next year maybe.
Madam President, can I actually add to what Jeff said?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, Steve, Jeff is exactly right, and I had forgotten that. Artis and I have talked about as getting together as membership and constitution, and there's a lot of areas, both in Article 8 and 9, that we really need to clean up. So I would say for today, if everybody is okay with it, let's leave it as the inference, and we will do much work between now and the next convention to clean up these couple of articles in reference to chapter and affiliate. Does that work for you, Steve?
Hello. I'm Mike Keithley. Does writing mean email? These the changes have to be communicated in writing. Does that mean email too? Does that include email?
Yeah, I believe an email would be acceptable. Yeah, because we, as long as it's a format that the office can, you know, put into a documentation form and be saved for future reference.
Madam Chair, this is Roger Peterson. I wanted to add to Gabe's answer to these questions. As of now, you know, we had chapters before we had statewide affiliates, and the subject matter of Article 8 is chapters. We then wrote an Article 9 that refers to statewide affiliates, and it says that in it that statewide affiliates have all the duties and requirements that chapters have. We discussed the possibility in the future of making an article that includes both kinds of affiliated organizations in the same article, which would make it a lot cleaner, but we can't do that right now.
Thank you, Roger.
Any other discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Mr. Chair, next one, please.
All right. Item number 3 is section 8.7. Each chapter of the council shall send annually to the president and the treasurer of the council a list of the names and addresses of its members. Changes? At the end of the section, add, along with their phone number or phone numbers, email addresses, if any, format choice, and site status. So the proposed language would read section 8.7. Each chapter of the council shall send annually to the president and the treasurer of the council a list of the names and addresses of its members, along with their phone numbers, email addresses, if any, format choice, and site status. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Do we have a second? All right. Mitch seconded. And Mitch has a...
And I'm guessing Mitch is going to say the amendment that I'm hearing from Roger as well. We want to change
secretary and president care of the office of the California Council of the Blind.
Okay.
I had a feeling I heard Mitch saying it as I was reading it.
Okay. Consistency art a gem.
Isn't it, though? I agree. All right. Did Roger call for the floor as well? And then, okay, Roger was saying the same thing. Let's give the microphone over to Steve, please.
Situations may arise, and the right exists, of course, under law, for members to decline to give their information now in light of what we were told by the technical operations group yesterday about it's not requiring information that people don't want to give. Should we include here a provision that, of course, chapters will not be held responsible for providing the names and addresses or phone numbers, et cetera, of people who decline to give them, and then making clear that people have a right not to give them?
I'd like to speak to that point. As I stated partially in my report yesterday, our auditors are looking at everything now. And I realize that the auditors have a specific responsibility. I don't know what rosters they're going to look at. Frankly, the technical operations group and the website is one thing. There needs to be contact people if we are going to grow our affiliate. If you don't want your material published on the website, then don't run for office so that people won't be able to find you. Okay? Folks, we want members. Folks need to be able to find us wherever we live if we put ourselves in leadership positions. Now, to the chapter issue. If you don't want to give that information to the office, then, you know, maybe what I'm saying is controversial. At this point, I don't care. If you don't trust us, then don't join. Okay? Okay, one moment. I will give it to Christy after I am finished. Okay? Look, we don't want you on our roster if you don't want to give your name, address, phone number, email. Let me tell you what we do. When someone calls and they may say, oh, I'm such and such's cousin, or I'm such and such's, you know, good friend, and I lost their number. I was talking to them just 2 weeks ago, and I want to catch up with them, et cetera, et cetera. We say, and we share with our chapter leadership to do this as well. We say, give us your contact information, and we'll contact them so they can get in touch with you. Because that's great that you've reunited with your long-lost family member, and they'll call you, okay? So please, if you don't want to give it, then you just won't be counted on the roster. And please don't give us that heartache. Thank you. Christy.
What we do when chapter members don't want their information given out publicly is we put parentheses, unlisted, into parentheses.
That is a very good suggestion. And I think that would be very easy to implement. Ed, is that? Absolutely. Thank you, Christy. Margie calls for the floor.
Thank you very much. I want to speak in favor of having our elected officials of our local chapters on our website. I recently had the opportunity with some local theater stuff in Sacramento where we have audio description, wanting to go through an email a number of the chapters in the area so that they know about that. And, you know, a lot of our chapter stuff was missing. None of the NFB stuff was missing. So it serves a number of purposes, not only to our organization, but externally for new things that are happening in the area, such as audio description. I want my local chapters to know. Thank you.
Okay, folks, any other? Okay.
Question at the AV
More
table.
Discussion? Okay.
Hi, this is Vida. A lot of, you can get a free email address online. So instead of using your personal address, you can do sangabrielchapter@gmail.com. And that's perfectly, if someone in your chapter is willing to check that email address, you can use that as your contact information. That's my suggestion to you if you don't want to put a personal email address.
Absolutely. There are a number of ways that you can do that. And hearing from the Technical Operations Group Chair, you can contact her. And if you're not sure of the things you can do, they will definitely assist you with that as far as personal email goes. Is there another question, or do we call for the question or discussion? Okay, someone is calling for the question. All those in favor of this as amended signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Gabe?
Thank you. All right. Let's see how controversial this next one's going to be. This is going to be section 8.9. The original language is, each chapter shall elect a delegate who is a current voting member of the chapter to attend council conventions and cast the chapter's vote. The chapter may also elect an alternate delegate who is a current voting member of the chapter.
Folks, if we can please have quiet as you're walking in or walking out, because it's out in the hall, then can we close the door? And I still see light out there, so the door isn't being closed. Okay. See, just enough vision to be dangerous. And I see a clump of people in the back of the room, so I hope you're not talking. Okay. Please start it over, Gabe.
Okay. All right. So section 8.9, original language. Each chapter shall elect a delegate who is a current voting member of the chapter to attend council conventions and cast the chapter's vote. The chapter may also elect an alternate delegate who is a current voting member of the chapter. The chapter shall provide its delegate and alternate delegate with a credential. Such credential must be submitted to the council president and treasurer, yes, I hear Mitch, at least 30 days prior to each CCB convention. No credential of a delegate or alternate delegate.
Folks, can we please have quiet over there in the corner?
May be accepted unless the annual dues of the chapter seeking to be represented are paid. This section is subject to the provisions set forth in the council bylaws. Proposed changes. At the end of the section, do the following. Delete, this section is subject to the provisions set forth in the council bylaws, and add, along with the roster as required in section 8.7 and the officer information sheet required in the bylaws. So the proposed language would read, section 8.9, each chapter shall elect a delegate who is a current voting member of the chapter to attend council conventions and cast the chapter's vote. The chapter may also elect an alternate delegate who is a current voting member of the chapter. The chapter shall provide its delegate and alternate delegate with a credential. Such credential must be submitted to the council president and treasurer at least 30 days prior to each CCB convention. No credential of a delegate or alternate delegate may be accepted unless the annual dues of the chapter seeking to be represented are paid along with the roster as required in section 8.7 and the officer information sheet required in the bylaws. The Constitution Bylaws Committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Do I have a second? We have several seconds. Any discussion? Is he going to say what you think he's going to say?
Mitch, are you saying something different than what I'm expecting you to say?
Yes.
Oh.
Ditto.
Our resolution chair says, good job, Rush. Other discussion?
Okay. Yes.
Steve Mendelson?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Andrea, and I have the mic right now.
Okay.
I don't sound like Steve.
Hold on one
second. He sounds better.
Quick point of information for the mic runners. Will you please, as I recognize folks, you probably see folks quicker, but I go by what I hear. So we'll take Andrea, Steve,
Sorry, I had the mic in my hand when you said Steve. So I'm wondering if we need to include, since we're going for inclusive language, does credentials chair need to be included in there where it says will be submitted to the president, secretary, in other words, president, secretary, and credentials chair?
Mr. Chair?
No, I've got a mic here. I was just pausing because I'm just trying to think. I would maybe defer to Donna and maybe Roger. Does anybody else have any thought? I don't have a problem with it, but logistically I'd want to check with other Constitution people. Donna, how does this work logistically? Does that make sense?
What I would state is that the credentials chair is definitely involved. We could put that language in there if the body so wishes. There definitely is no harm in it. Roger? Yes. Okay. Roger says the office provides it to the credentials, so let us go by that.
Have everybody good, writing to three or four places?
Good question. Well, that's kind of what we have been working on. You're correct. Steve?
Yeah, the proposed language states that the credential must be submitted to the appropriate officials, whoever they turn out to be, at least 30 days prior to the convention in question.
Yes.
It also says that, of course, dues must be paid. I would imagine situations will arise in which a chapter's failure to pay its dues will become known to it, will become manifest to it, only after the credential is refused. But by that time, of course, the 30-day period would have begun to run. So will chapters be permitted to pay their back dues within that 30-day window? And if so, will the credential be accepted?
Can you say that again? I may be tired.
Okay,
I'm not sure what it is, but
I'm not sure. Let's take an example. The convention is on April 12th. So the credential has to be in by March 13th. March 13th comes, the credential is not in, or the credential is in, but they haven't paid the dues. So you call up the chapter, you say, chapter, you haven't paid your dues. And they say, okay, we'll pay them next week. They pay them on March 20th. But by then, it's less than 30 days from the date of the convention. So can the credential be accepted retroactively?
No.
No, I would say no, because that's part of compliance with several sections of
the
Constitution.
But that's how, and I appreciate the administrative issues here, but that's how I imagine a lot of chapters who have neglected to pay their dues will become aware of that fact, and they might want to pay them.
Well, chapters have to have their dues.
Order on the floor, please.
Madam President, may I respond?
Yes.
If
we can, hold on, folks.
It's stated other places in the Constitution that chapter dues must be in by February 15th, if memory serves. So
yes. It's
not just this section, Steve. There's several sections within the Constitution that address when dues have to be in. And 30 days prior to a convention, in most cases, is going to be well after other places already require
it. So we're willing to forego dues for the sake of an administrative convenience. I understand that. I just want to make clear that's what we want to do.
Yes.
Okay,
Pam Pology, who is credentials chair, and then there was a lady on the left, Charlene.
I'm a little confused here, and that's nothing new, but as credentials chair, since I've been doing it since 2012 or 11, I was always told that the spring credentials were to be in 45 days prior, and that's what we've been doing the last couple of years.
What we did was there were changes made to the Constitution that will begin to take, that have taken effect, and some will be, for instance, the dues is due February 15th.
Right.
According to how it states now, so we don't need to worry anything at all about the previous.
Well, no, but my question is, so are you going to have, and I realize at one point we're going to only have one convention a year, but right now we have the next convention coming on April 10th.
Correct.
So Are you changing it from last year where we had to have it 45 days prior to now just having the dues and the nominating information and everything and the credentials just 30 days? So that I'm just wanting to know what to enforce.
Dues and I'm not remembering that constitutional amendment.
Last year...
Well, no. I'm thinking of how it was amended related to the credentials itself, and I'm not remembering, and Gabe is here next to me, or Jeff or Roger. If you recall that...
I'm not recalling.
One moment, Rob. Yeah, Jeff isn't, Gabe is not remembering.
It used to be that we said that things had to be in 45 days before the spring convention and then updated 30 days before the fall convention.
Correct.
We took all that stuff out and said February 15th.
It's all February 15th. Thank you, Roger. That's what...
So that doesn't matter when the convention is? It's always
correct.
February 15th? Okay.
Yeah.
Then
good question.
I'll remember that. Thank you.
Well, Rob, wait.
Rob and then Mitch.
Rob wanted, Roger took care of it. Thank you, Rob. Mitch. No, Charlene and then Mitch. Charlene and then Mitch. Apologies.
I just wanted to mention, and it might help all this, adding the chair to the credentials committee actually kind of muddies the water because, first of all, the office gets all that information to the chair. The clubs and affiliates do not send it to the chair. They send
correct.
It to the office. If the chair were to be the one getting the information, they cannot verify that the dues are current and paid. So leaving it with
correct.
The president and the secretary of the office makes it clear,
correct.
Is consistent,
right.
and it goes to the chair of the of the committee anyway.
Yes. It's care of the secretary, president, care of the office. So, yes, you're correct.
I'm getting out of here just in time. Secretary's going to have a lot more to do.
And the president is going to have some assistance, elected assistance. It's going to be wonderful. Okay, Mitch.
Let me just respond to Steve's comment. Steve, you know, there are administrative responsibilities, and that's why we have the 30-day notice. Not only do dues have to be submitted to CCB, but also to ACB from the state. You know, my expectation, and I've kind of become a fanatic on personal responsibility, and I don't have a lot of, and I have lost patience for people who won't take it. My feeling is that once February 15th comes and goes, and there are chapters who haven't paid their dues, then the president and or the secretary or whomever they delegate that responsibility to has a responsibility to get on the phone and nag the hell out of whoever hasn't paid dues for that chapter and make sure it's being done. And if it isn't done, then obviously they're not all that interested in being an affiliate.
Or at least a credentialed affiliate.
Thank you. Okay, we have Margie, and before I give it to Margie, I want to say that the membership committee had to call folks several times. This should not be happening anymore. Okay, Margie, and then Bernice.
Thank you.
And then we'll call for the question.
I have a question and a concern. And my question is, we're sitting here and we're passing these amendments today, but I would be willing to bet that there's very few presidents of chapters in here. So I'd like to know how we are going to inform the chapter of these changes.
Okay, good question. First of all, there are delegates of every chapter, at least there should be.
No, there's
delegates
not. Some
of every
left.
Chapter.
Some have left.
In this room. Then, hold on, folks. Shh, 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 shh. If they have left, the convention is not over, and I guess they're not as interested in the business of this organization as they should be.
Madam Chair?
Hold on. It is the responsibility of the delegates to inform their presidents, etc. Now, knowing in this case that folks may not get that information, because I've learned a lot about communication where, you know, somebody believes that the person responsible is doing what they're doing and they don't want to nag them or check up on them because they've told them and they know. And then the night before they find out it hasn't been done. I commit to have a conference call with all presidents before the end of this year to inform folks and presidents and officers of the chapter so that we could do this by phone as well. Thank you. Okay.
Hold on one second.
Margie had one more comment, and then we were taking it to Bernice, and then we were calling for the question.
Right. So I just want to say this for the record, and this is not about you personally, Donna, but we will have a new president in the future. And it feels to me that a lot of what's going on in here this morning is being micromanaged by the president. And I really believe that we have elected officers, such as our secretary, such as our membership committee, and I'm really uncomfortable with everything having to go to the president. And I'm not sure that that's a good precedence for us to set for our next president. Thank you.
It's actually been in our Constitution that that comment is a good comment. I have no problem saying that the reason I support it is because of the fact that when the folks don't do it, guess who gets responsible for having to do it at the last minute? The president. Remember, someone said earlier, and I can't remember who it was, but I thank you for saying it. It came out in our strategic planning time. Currently, the president is also the executive director of this organization. And folks need to remember that unfortunate circumstance. And no, Bernice, and then we call for the question, please. Thank you.
There's been an ongoing issue for many years about when you talked in there about a voting member of a chapter. As being a delegate, and sometimes a chapter doesn't have someone that can come, but they have a non-home member that is willing to come.
Well, Bernice, I agree with that, but I believe a non-home member is still a voting member of the chapter.
It depends
in most cases.
Yeah. Depends on your constitution.
But in most cases, it is. Yes, but does the question that's always been batted around is...
Can we have order on the floor, please?
Is that non-home member that can vote in a chapter...
Can we have order on the floor?
In the back right corner.
Thank you.
Would they qualify to be the delegate and vote
yes.
at the convention?
Yes.
Yes, as long as they're a voting member of the chapter.
If they're a voting member of the chapter, yes.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
We have Mitch calling for
the motion. Well, if I give it to Mitch, then I give it to Louie.
Mitch is just calling the previous question.
Oh, Mitch is calling the previous question. Thank you. Call for the question. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Mr. Chair.
All right, and we are down to the final item, which I read yesterday, even though a bylaw does not require a previous reading because it relates back to some of the other stuff that we did. I'd like to think that we can pass this fairly easily because much of what we've done today refers to a bylaw that until now doesn't exist. So hopefully we can put it into existence. There is no original language. So what we're proposing is to create a new bylaw that would be numbered and written as follows. This would be bylaw 4, chapter officer information. Each chapter and affiliate shall submit an officer information sheet to the council office. This officer information sheet shall include the officer's name, phone number, mailing address, email address, if any, as well as information for the CCB website and CCB email discussion lists. This officer information sheet shall be submitted along with the roster and shall be updated within 30 days of any change in officers. The Constitution Bylaws Committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
We have several seconds. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Madam President, actually, may I make one quick comment?
Okay.
There had been a question that was brought to me about, does this mean that that would have to be submitted right after, within 30 days of elections or 30 days of officers taking place, since many chapters have elections in, say, November, and those officers take place on January 1st. Roger, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but the sentiment of the committee was that that would be when the officers' change takes place. So that would be 30 days of January 1st when, if those officers take place then, or whenever the elected officers take place, or throughout the year if an officer resigns or for some other reason an officer changes. So I
one
just
moment,
to,
Roger I, needs to.
I was just wanting to give some explanation of, you know, when that 30 days would start.
What do I need to do?
Ask him the question in a sentence.
You're asking me. I agree with you.
Yeah, I'm asking you to correct me if I was wrong on what the committee had.
We always do.
What did he say?
Correct you if you're wrong.
We always do, is what Roger said. Let me let Gabe, Roger speak. Go ahead, Roger.
I'm sorry. I'm agreeing with Gabe that whenever the change occurs in those cases you're talking about, and our chapter does that, the change occurs on January 1st. Now, it would be prudent, it seems to me, to let the office know that the officers are going to be changing on January 1st. But the change actually occurs on January 1st, so you do have 30 days after that. But sometimes officers change when somebody dies or somebody resigns or whatever, and it has to be done any time there's a change in officers.
Okay, is that Christy? And then I think I heard Margie. Okay. Christy.
I'm kind of concerned. First of all, I think 30 days is a long time in today's electronic and telephonic society. And, okay, so January, whenever your meeting happens, when the officers take change, let's say, for instance, our meeting is the second Saturday of the month, so that could be up to January 14th. We wouldn't have to make a change and let you know until let the office know until the 14th of February. I'm just thinking that it should be 30 days of the election.
Okay. Wait. Uh-huh. Okay. Let's go to Margie.
Thank you. I agree in theory with what's been said. The challenge I see is that does the office know when every chapter has their elections? And that could be scattered throughout the year. Does the office know when there's a change? So I think just 30 days is sufficient, and what the office ultimately cares about is getting that list. And I really don't know how the office or how you, Donna, as president, or how Judy as secretary or whoever is going to be able to micromanage when each chapter has an election or a change.
Okay.
Move the question.
Well, okay, I hear someone calling for the question. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, two oppositions, one abstention. Motion carries. Thank you.
Madam President?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
That concludes the report from the Constitution and Bylaws Committee. And before I conclude, I would like to thank Roger Peterson and David Jackson, members of the committee who joined us, and there were several others that came in. I know Artis was there, Jeff, and at least a couple of others that I'm not sure who exactly were. So I would like to thank the members of the committee and the guests that came in and participated in our discussion Friday afternoon. So it was probably one of the best attended and liveliest Constitution Bylaws Committee meetings that I have presided over since becoming the chair. So thank you, and that does now conclude my report.
Okay. That was interesting. I've never heard a point of order in the middle of a thank you. That's okay. Gabe, are you finished with your...
Yes.
Okay. Let's give our chair a great big hand.
The Constitution Bylaw Amendment report be accepted.
Okay. And we have a second.
Wait, are you moving the amendment be accepted or the report?
Oh, there he goes. Okay. All right. Any discussion on that? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome.
All righty. All right. Doug wants a point of order, and we shall give him a mic. Go ahead, Doug.
Hello. First of all, I humbly apologize. I didn't realize that was the last bylaw. My point of order is generally, and I wish the parliamentarian would address, I keep hearing people in the audience yelling, call for the question. I thought it was the president's job to limit debate or say the debate was over or whatever. Anybody who decides that they're tired of what's being said yells call for the question. To me, that's a meaningless motion. I wish the parliamentarian would please explain that.
Okay, thank you. What I do, and yes, absolutely, there is someone else coming in after me, and you don't know who you are, but you'll be here. So, in 2015... So what I do, just to let you guys know, the moment I hear someone say call for the question, that's when I do it. If folks in the audience want to call for the question, and I hear you, I will definitely call for the question. Yeah. Well, no, anyway. Anyway, okay.
We've ruled on this.
It definitely has been discussed previously, and that's the way I do it, and the next person that comes in can do it another way. But thank you so much for your comment. All right, we are going to give the microphone, if we can have order on the floor, please. Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and give the microphone over to the chair of our resolutions committee, Jeff Tom.
Does Jeff? Can we move this boom mic over to Jeff?
Otherwise, I'll read one-handed. Okay.
We're going to move.
Sorry, I should have called you.
All right.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, great. Okay. We'll try to roll through these as quick as we can. I know the hour is getting on, but we want your attention to these important resolutions. We have a total of 7, including our two that we always pass, usually, anyway. The first one is presented, comes from the task force appointed pursuant to the last convention's motion, Resolution 1, 213B1, on State Board of Guide Dogs of the Blind. Whereas in or about 1948, at the urging of prominent leaders and members of the California Council of the Blind, CCB, legislation was enacted creating the California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind, the board, pursuant to Section 7200.5 of the Business and Professions Code. And whereas the board rapidly developed procedures governing fundraising, the startup of guide dog schools, and the licensing of such schools and their instructors. And whereas, thanks to the board's efforts, California is the first and only state to mandate the quality of guide dog training programs and the competency of instructors through a comprehensive examination and licensing procedure for California schools and their instructors. And whereas, in recent years, the board has implemented other procedures less favorable to blind persons who have chosen to use guide dogs, and frequently without the knowledge and input from the knowledge of and input from guide dog handlers themselves. And whereas examples of such procedures include requiring an instructor employed by a school located outside California to be licensed by the board, requiring apprentice trainers seeking licensure as instructors to provide the board with the personal contact information of handlers who have received training from the prospective licensee, and requiring apprentice trainers seeking licensure to provide videos of apprentices instructing guide dog teams. The latter two requirements, without first obtaining signed authorization for the use of students' personal contact information and or images. And whereas CCB has a long-standing, mutually beneficial history of partnering with the board, but has grown increasingly concerned with the direction taken by the board in recent years. And whereas earlier this year, the board, in consultation with members of CCB, agreed to require that the 3 guide dog schools licensed in California obtain written authorization from students prior to the release of students' personal contact information and or images, and whereas CCB views this as a positive sign that the board now understands and recognizes the importance of consumer participation and input into the process of developing cutting-edge standards. Now, therefore, be it resolved, and I'm going to read the boilerplate this first time, by the California Council of the Blind and Convention assembled this 20th day of October at the San Diego Del Mar Marriott Hotel in the city of Del Mar, California, that this organization commend the California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind for its 65-year history of ensuring the highest quality of instruction by the 3 guide dog schools in California, and for its recent decision to amend its regulations to require schools to obtain written authorization from students prior to the release of personal contact information or the image of students in training on videos submitted to the board. That was to the board, excuse me. And be it further resolved that CCB urged the board to further amend its regulations and or seek legislation to do the following. 1, permit the provision of follow-up services by instructors for periods of no more than 2 weeks at a time to guide dog handlers who receive training from schools outside the state, which have current certification from the International Guide Dog Federation. 2, require the production and dissemination through the 3 guide dog schools and on the board's website of a fact sheet describing the board's arbitration authority, its role in assisting handlers who are victims of alleged guide dog discrimination, and the purpose of the board itself. And 3, require that a fixed percentage, at least 1/3, of the members of the board be current guide dog handlers. And be it further resolved that, if the board appears to be unwilling to support the above recommendations, CCB gives serious consideration to withdrawing its long-standing support for the board when it is next considered for legislative sunsetting in 2017. The committee recommends they do pass, and I so move.
We have a second. Any discussion? Who seeks the floor? Jean?
I'm in support of the resolution, but I just want for correction. It is not the city of Del Mar, it's San Diego. This is San Diego, not Del Mar. Del Mar is not incorporated at all.
I'm sorry.
The border plate language you said in the city of San Diego, the city of Del Mar, there is no city of Del Mar. It is the city of San Diego.
Okay, thank you, Gene. I'll make that correction.
Well, we're not going to debate whether there is a city of Del Mar or not. What we're going
Gene
to do.
Tells me
wait. What we're going to do is stick to the fact here of, are we in San Diego physically or are we in Del Mar?
Here is San Diego.
Okay. Who seeks? Okay.
Madam President.
And she's going to tell us that we're here or not, and then we're moving on. Yes.
Does this lady have the mic?
Go ahead.
Okay, this is a part of San Diego that is close to Del Mar. The zip code is 92130.
Okay. So she's saying we're in San Diego. We're in San Diego. Thank you. That was Lee, right? Thank you. Okay. Thank you very, very much. Okay. Any other discussion? All those in favor of this resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions. Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay. We're going to stick to guide dogs here. So we'll go to 2013B6. And this came to us from GDUC. Whereas Braille issue here. Whereas during the 1970s, Guide Dog Users of California, GDUC, was established as a statewide affiliate of the California Council of the Blind, CCB. And whereas, in compliance with the requirements of the GDUC Constitution and bylaws, Pamela Metz became the organization's president on August 15, 2013. And whereas, on September 11, 2013, an unidentified individual or group of individuals without the knowledge of the GDUC president or board of directors registered an application for incorporation of an organization called Guide Dog Users of California, Inc., with the office of the California Secretary of State at http://kepler.sos.ca.gov, entity number C 3603072, agent for service of process, LegalZoom.com, date filed 09/11/2013, jurisdiction California, using the following addresses: entity address 6043 Ralston Avenue, Richmond, California 94805, agent address LegalZoom.com, Inc. 1100.
Can we please have quiet on the floor?
100 West Broadway, Suite 100, Glendale, California, 91210. And whereas the GDUC Constitution and Bylaws expressly prohibits the use of the name of Guide Dog Users of California without the permission of the GDUC President, and whereas at no time did the GDUC President, who took office on August 15, 2013, authorize the filing made on September 11, 2013, and whereas CCB views this unauthorized filing as a deceptive and misleading act, now therefore be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind that this organization affirms that since its inception, the statewide affiliate for Guide Dog Users has continuously operated under the name of Guide Dog Users of California, GDUC, and be it further resolved that the organization that has applied for registration as Guide Dog Users of California with the Office of the California Secretary of State on September 11th, 2013 is not and never was the recognized CCB statewide affiliate bearing that name, and be it further resolved that a letter accompanied by a copy of this resolution be sent via certified mail to the applicant at 6043 Ralston Avenue, Richmond, California, 94805, and to the agent for service, LegalZoom.com, demanding that the organization filing the registration with the California Secretary of State on September 11, 2013, for incorporation of Guide Dog Users of California, Inc., immediately withdraw this unauthorized filing or relinquish control of the resulting corporation to the board of directors of the duly recognized CCB statewide affiliate to which the name of Guide Dog Users of California has always been associated. And be it further resolved that if this filing is withdrawn or the corporate entity relinquished, the individuals who made this filing be encouraged to join in the revitalization of GDUC. And be it further resolved that if the individuals associated with this application fail to comply with CCB's demands within 10 calendar days of the receipt of the letter sent pursuant to this resolution, 1. Copies of this resolution be sent to the California Secretary of State, the Office of the Attorney General, the Governor's Appointment Secretary, the Director of the Department of Consumer Affairs, the State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind, the Executive Officers of the three California Guide Dog Schools, the Board of Guide Dog Users Incorporated, GDUI, and the American Council of the Blind, ACB, in order to make these officials and organizations aware of this situation. And 2, the CCB Board of Directors, in consultation with GDUC, consider what other actions are available and appropriate to bring about a satisfactory resolution to this situation. The committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Any discussion? Okay, what I am going to do here is I am going to start the 20-minute rule for debate. And what we will do is we will start. Frank Welty will determine how we start with a for or against, because his voice is the first voice I heard. So I will tell you when we start. Frank, do you have a microphone?
Yes, I do. Are we ready?
Okay, go ahead.
Madam President, Mr. Chair, fellow CCB chapter members, if you're not absolutely shocked and stunned at this moment, you were not listening to the resolution that's just been read to you. So in case anybody missed the point, here's the deal. Somebody is trying to hijack the name of Guide Dog Users of California. Has that ever happened in the history of this organization? I don't know. But it sure better not stand now. Here's the deal. On September 11th, somebody, unidentified, filed an application with the Secretary of State's office to use that name. Excuse us, that's our name. I am the president of Guide Dog Users of California. Pam Metz is the immediate past president of the Guide Dog User of California, and she was president at the time that that little item was filed. She was not notified. Nobody on the board was notified as per requirements of the CC, of the GDUC constitution. And not only that, but these people didn't even have the courage to put their names on their application. Now, I'm pretty sure that wasn't an accident. I don't think somebody woke up one morning and said, I'm going to start a GDU, a guide dog club, and I'm just going to call it Guide Dog Users of California. And what? There's another one? This is not acceptable. And so we're asking, in behalf of the board of GDUC, to have the support of CCB by affirming that we really are who we say that we are and not somebody else, and to notify those people to knock it off, and that if they don't, people are going to know about it. We've got to stand up for our affiliates, and I ask the support of this body in our behalf. Thank you very much.
Okay. Speaking again. One moment. Are you speaking against?
No, I'm speaking for.
Okay, we need someone who's speaking against.
Excuse me.
Do we have anyone speaking against? Okay. What I would like to ask, I hear no againsts. Please be sure that if you have something to say and you wish to speak, if you have something new to say or different to say, please feel free to say it. Go ahead, Mike Keithley.
Two things. I think that the resolution should have some language saying that if the people responsible for filing the applications are found out to be CCB members, that they should be expelled. Also, I don't think it reference to.
Can we please have quiet on the floor?
I don't think the reference to ACB is necessary, as the GDUC has removed itself as an affiliate of ACB. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, one moment. The resolutions chair wishes to speak. What I am doing is I'm stopping the clock on the 20 minutes. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, first, did you actually make a motion for that as an amendment, or did you merely say you thought that? Because I didn't hear a motion. Okay. So, with respect to the second point first, the reason I think to still include ACB and GDUI in there is, I can't speak for the drafters, but obviously GDUC members are ACB members, for one thing. And also, I think it's still important to, I would think that they would view it as still important to inform GDUI of what is going on. And so I assume that they would not want their action yesterday to have any impact on that wording. As for the expulsion point,
can we please have quiet on the floor?
The Constitution, for one thing, the Constitution is vague on, the authority to expel and whatever anyway. For another, we really think that we are giving, in this resolution, the board direction in consultation with GDUC to look and see what should be done based on the future in terms of what actually happens. The committee did not feel it was appropriate to hamstring the board as well as the membership in terms of the future, but to give direction that we needed to look at it dependent upon, what is available and appropriate. So from the committee's perspective, we would not view that as any kind of a friendly amendment. We think we should keep any specific remedies out of the last resolve clause.
Okay. Someone has the speakerphone on their cell phone. Nice. Can that person and their cell phone please go outside or turn it off immediately? Okay. Now, I have the 20-minute clock starting to run. All right. Who sought the floor? Steve Mendelson? Okay. Go ahead, Steve.
Thank you. I certainly want to endorse the resolution and add my heartfelt support to President Welty's comments. I think, though, with respect to the issue of the scope of discretion afforded to the board to determine such further action as may be necessary if, and in all events, in all likelihood, when our 10-day demand is refused, I want to make certain, and if it is already clear, then I don't have any amendment to offer, but I want to make certain that it's clear that it includes all necessary authority to seek legal redress, to hire or consult with attorneys as may be necessary, or to do any other measures that are required to enforce our legal rights and our economic interest in the name.
We are to consider any remedies that are appropriate, available and appropriate, and so there is no restriction on what the board can consider.
Thank you. Who seeks the floor? Anyone else to speak? Who is this, please? Vita.
Thank you. Can we please maybe change or add in the last clause that the board in discussion with GDUC will look at this in a particular time frame? So it isn't said to us, okay, well, we'll take this up in a year when we have time. So can we please at least add a time frame to that? Will the board or CCB be willing to do it within a 30-day period? Speak to us.
If you wish to propose an amendment, you can propose it, but it will not be friendly.
It will not be what? Okay. What is the current wording? So if you're asking me to... So my friendly amendment is that we add somewhere in that last clause that we will meet within a 45-day period. That's my request.
And basically the resolutions committee chair said that that the time period component would not be friendly. So you're proposing an amendment to add to that language meeting within a 45-day period.
Yes.
Board? Okay, so it would read, just so that we have it for purposes of voting on it, to consider within 45 days of the...
end of the 10-day calendar period.
Right, okay. Within 45 days of the end of the 10 calendar day period. Okay, I've got it.
Okay, perfect. And I heard a second supporting that amendment. Was that correct? Okay. Do we have any discussion on the amendment? Is that Frank Welty? Okay, we'll have Frank's. Let's get a mic to Frank.
I'm coming.
I wish to propose a subsidiary amendment, which I think will be very minor and friendly, and simply that I'm not sure of the exact wording, but basically saying that the action will commence within 45 days, because I'm afraid that if we just say 45 days without that clarification, that some people might try to argue that they had to be done within 45 days, and I don't think that's the intent.
Does the maker of the... of the amendment consider that friendly?
So would you, if I can interpret that, Frank, would you, if let me read this clause and see if by throwing a couple words in I get to where you want to go.
Sure.
But I want to see, make sure that we have what he wants. The CCB Board of Directors, in consultation with GDUC, begin to consider, within 45 days of the end of the 10 calendar day period, what other actions are available and appropriate to bring about a satisfactory resolution to this situation.
Yes, that's where I'm going with that.
And so, so it's friendly. Okay, to the maker. I hear two people, but I'm waiting for an answer from the maker of the... That cell phone needs to be on vibrate or off, or please go out. Thank you. And I know folks are waiting for their rides. I realize that.
This is Vita.
Yes.
I didn't see the change. I think it said exactly what I said. Where is the change?
It says begin. You, the
okay,
word
fine.
Is begin.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Of course.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, and we have Linda.
I'd like to ask my excellent good friends Frank and Vita about their level of concern and lack of trust in the board's willingness to deal with this issue. Didn't the board immediately respond to the concerns raised earlier this year about GDUC and take immediate and strong action in the defense of GDUC? And what makes anyone believe that we would lollygag around after the 10-day period and not begin to deal with the issue? I don't think we need the friendly amendment. We will deal with the issue when it becomes necessary to deal with it.
Yeah. Madam Chair.
Wait, please. That was the maybe I shouldn't speak for the resolutions chair, but that's why it was considered unfriendly, because it would be dealt with in a timely manner.
Madam Chair, yeah, this is Doug. I was the second one. First of all, I'm very much in favor of the resolution, very much opposed to the amendment. And my opinion is that we should wait to see what the Secretary of State's office is going to do prior to the board pursuing any definite action.
Margie, are you speaking to the amendment? Because that's what we're... Thank you.
Thank you for clarifying. I want to state that I'm opposed to this amendment, and I'm opposed because I believe the board will take immediate action, and I believe that immediate action must be taken after that 10 days is up. I have been in contact with the Secretary of State's office. I'm not sure that we can do anything, but we need to get this to them because they have 90 days from September 11th to get all of their documents to the Secretary of State's office to become fully incorporated. And I think that our board, both of our boards, can work together after that 10 days is up to take very aggressive action with the Secretary of State's office. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam President.
Jeff.
I, too, am opposed to the amendment because I think that it may be that Margie is right, that we must do something sooner. But I don't know that any particular date in here is going to impact the board over much. I think the board has to take its responsibility seriously to look at the issue immediately. It may decide that it's much better not to do anything for some reason or other, and it may well decide that it's got to do something immediately. So I don't know that this amendment really serves a great purpose. I can live with it. It's not going to be harmful, but in reality, it's not going to, in my opinion, it shouldn't impact what this board does.
Any more discussion? Okay, we are voting on the amendment. We're voting on the amendment. Jeff, you can be more concise than I.
Yeah. We're voting on the amendment. I will read the clause, and I will read the amended words as we get there. So the clause will say, with the amendment, the CCB Board of Directors, in consultation with GDUC, insert, begin to, and then the word consider was already there, and then insert within 45 days of the end of the calendar day period. And then it goes back to the original wording. What other actions are available and appropriate to bring about a satisfactory resolution to the situation? So all we would be doing with this amendment is inserting the requirement that the board has to begin its consideration within the 45-day period after the end of the 10-day period. And if you vote yes, that's what you're voting to do. Insert that requirement. If you vote no, it will not be included.
All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye. Opposed?
No.
The noes have it. Thank you. Now we'll go back, and we still had time on the resolution for debate? I have one, thank you. Mr. Roller Skates gave me another one. Hearing no more discussion, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? One opposition noted? Thank you very much. Mr. Chair, how about another resolution? Mm-hmm. A point of information. It doesn't matter what it is. You get the floor. Quickly, sir. Be concise, sir. The batteries probably died. I know. His battery. There we go.
The button. Oh, jeez.
Lord.
And that was without the microphone.
And Ken, yeah. And Ken, please be concise.
Yeah. Madam President, on the first resolution, I would like to thank Mitch for running the task force in getting that resolution taken care of and handled with extreme professionalism. A lot of us met together on that task force, and as the point of information, it is to thank Mitch for a tremendous job, as we could see by the difference in the attitude in voting for that resolution.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Ken, because I felt that was an extremely well-crafted resolution that combined many of the portions of both of those prior resolutions, and I second that. I'm glad you said it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
We're on B2 now, IHSS Reader Services. This issue has been here before. Whereas access to information, including written documents, is one of the most significant barriers that persons who are blind or who have low vision must overcome in order to lead fully independent and productive lives. And whereas the reading of mail and the timely completion of forms such as as well as the payment of bills, are major components of that obstacle. And whereas this is especially true for low-income persons who often lack the financial and other resources to obtain assistance from sighted persons for the reading and completion of documents. And whereas the In-Home Supportive Services Program, IHSS, has been in existence for more than 40 years in order to enable low-income seniors and persons with disabilities to remain in their own homes and avoid institutionalization. And whereas the definition of supportive services under the IHSS program fails to include the reading and completion of documents, despite several attempts by this organization at correcting this grievous inequity. And whereas most recently, the California Council of the Blind sponsored AB 238, Bell, of the 2008 regular session, in order to remedy this problem, but the bill, after passing the legislature, was vetoed by Governor Schwarzenegger. And whereas CCB has worked, since the vetoing of that legislation, to increase awareness of the need for this legislation among advocacy organizations, employee unions, and public officials, and whereas passage of legislation to include reading and completion of documents is long overdue, now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind Convention assembled this 20th day of October, 2013, et cetera, and in the city of San Diego, got that right, that this organization seek reintroduction and passage of AB 238, and the committee recommends it do pass, and I so move.
Several seconds. Any discussion? Okay, Steve Mendelson seeks the floor. And then there was a lady. Who is the lady? Andrea, if you could stand as well. First Steve, then Andrea.
Needless to say, I strongly endorse the resolution. I would suggest its expansion, though.
in one possible respect. A certain amount of the IHS funding is conduit funding that comes through Medicaid. And that brings in a federal dimension, which has to do with the dimension of personal assistance services. Anyway, I won't go into all that now. The point is I'd like to make a friendly amendment that the motion be expanded to authorize us to consider with our attorneys the possibilities of litigation in this area under applicable federal law.
Well, Steve, we can look at that. I don't think federal law would preclude us doing that at all. And in fact, 90 to 95% of the funding for IHSS comes from state Medicaid or federal Medicaid money.
That's my point. That's
and
why
I don't think
should include.
What I'm saying is I don't think the feds would preclude us from adding that as part of IHSS and spending Medi-Cal on it. But if it was to be a problem, we could certainly face that.
No, Jeff, my point is exactly the opposite. There's no likelihood the feds would preclude it. What I'm suggesting is that some federal leverage is required here, and there are various ways to get that, and the resolution should include our exploring. There are several possibilities for getting that federal leverage that exist.
Doing what to gain the federal leverage?
A, talking to our counsel about the possibility of litigation. B, talking to our counsel about the possibility of filing a petition for an instructional letter from CMS, which are frequently issued under Medicaid in response to situations that arise at the state levels. There are various things that can be done. They should be included in the resolution, is all I'm saying.
I don't think we'd have any legal remedies until... I don't think the feds would require us to have that service. And on the other hand, until we were to pass the law, it won't become a legal issue. I think we're premature in putting that into this...
No, that's absolutely not... Well, I disagree with you strongly.
Well, I disagree with you. I think we're premature until the state passes legislation from this issue arising.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to say, can you tell they're two attorneys? I feel like I'm in the courtroom. Yeah. All righty. This is good. I like it. I like it.
It's one of those kill the lawyers thing.
Oh, we love you guys, though. You're ours. Okay. Thank you. Andrea.
Okay, I just got a mic. Quick question again. This may be not something I'm clear on. Was it Governor Brown that vetoed this? It said Schwartz. Okay,
no.
So this was a while
hold
ago.
Hold on one second. She's not talking to the whole room. She's talking to the
resolution.
Yeah, I'm
just asking because it said, I thought this was a recent bill, and Governor Brown's been in office since 2011. So...
We've tried, but the closest we came was in 2007 and 8, and that's where we got it vetoed by.
Okay. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries, even after the dueling lawyers. Yes.
All righty. And Steve, just to make a point. We can examine this, and if there's something that can be done about it ahead of time, this resolution certainly doesn't preclude that. So, we'll look at this together and see where we come out.
Next resolution.
Okay, this is number 3, and this is dealing with Department of Rehabilitation purchasing. Whereas the vast majority of procurement of goods by the state is specifically for the use of agencies and their employees. And whereas in such a system, it is essential in protecting the state treasury that spending on procurement be monitored and controlled. And whereas in order to accomplish this goal, utilization of strategies such as selecting the low bidder and discount purchasing through bulk purchases has long been a vital component of the state procurement system. And whereas, moreover, in order to ensure that the system of state procurement works effectively and efficiently, the Department of General Services, DGS, monitors and oversees state agency purchasing. And whereas, in order to defray a portion of the cost of the monitoring and oversight function, an amount in excess of 1% of the cost of items procured by the purchasing agency is transferred to DGS. And whereas, unlike the vast majority of state purchasing, most of the Department of Rehabilitation's goods procurement is for the purpose of purchasing items for its consumers, rather than for goods used to provide the agency's own services. And whereas not only is the Department of Rehabilitation, DOR, a smaller procurer of goods than most agencies, but more importantly, because almost all of DOR's procurement is individualized in nature, being geared to the needs of the specific individual, there's little, if any, ability to seek discounts through bulk purchasing. And whereas, because a large portion of this procurement involves items that are not made for the general public, such as assistive technology, purchases must usually be made from small businesses rather than large corporate entities. And whereas the use of small businesses is generally viewed as not necessitating compliance with low bidder requirements. And whereas, given that the rationale for strenuous monitoring and oversight by DGS does not apply in the case of consumer-related DOR procurement, and whereas, in addition, the percentage of DOR funds used for procurement that is transferred to DGS would better serve the purpose of providing goods and services to DOR consumers, now therefore be it resolved, that this organization requests the legislature to examine the issue of whether the state procurement, monitoring, and oversight functions of the Department of General Services, along with the associated percentage of procurement funds transferred to DGS, should, in the case of the Department of Rehabilitation, be limited or completely eliminated. Committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Discussion?
I'm going to, if I could, Madam President.
Yes, Jeff first, as SMC's chair.
This came from essentially Donna and I. The reason that we have written it in this way is it's an issue that really has some broad implication to all of DOR purchasing. It goes beyond blindness. It's a complex issue. We don't want to try to propose a law or anything like that at this point in time. We want maybe the legislature to have a hearing on it or to have some discussions about it. This is sort of a preliminary whack at what could be an issue that could help in the future. And so I'll certainly let, you know, if Donna wants to amplify on that. But that's why we sort of came up with this sort of moderate approach to this issue.
You said it all. Let's give the microphone to the person who wants point of information. Judy.
Jeff, I support this resolution. But would you mind telling us, in fact, who does submit these resolutions as you introduce them? It really helped
me. I apologize.
He actually did. He said
At the end, Donna. In his introduction. But, for instance, for the previous resolution, it was nice when you told us the guide dog users. If you don't mind,
if I failed to do it, remind me to again, because I mean to do that. By the way, I had submitted the previous IHSS resolution.
Thank you,
so,
Jeff.
Yeah, that was Jeff.
Yeah, so Judy, okay. Thank you.
Okay, Steve has discussion.
No. Who is next, Donna?
I heard Steve call for the floor, and then who else called for the floor? No one else. Okay, go ahead, Steve.
Again, I don't want to run the risk of getting ahead of ourselves here, but I'm always trying to look for what is the real point of leverage. And the real point of leverage here is RSA, because, again, a lot of these funds are federal funds. So the first question that I would ask is whether or not the existing RSA regulations permit the federal VR funds be used in this way. If the answer is no, then there's a leverage point there. If the average is yes, then obviously the legislature becomes the appropriate forum. But even in that case, I would suggest to the legislature that in their consideration, if they're not prepared to abrogate the 1% entirely, they at least consider treating the 1% as a component of the federal match required, state match required to get the federal funds.
It's my understanding, Steve, and I will continue to look at that question because it's a legitimate one, but it's my understanding that the state is not acting afoul of the law in doing this.
Steve, did you have any more on your comment before I give the mic over to Mitch?
Just to bear in mind the matching issue later on.
Thank you. We'll give it over to Mitch. So patiently.
Thank you.
Steve, I wish it were so. The RSA would basically keep hands off and say, look, how you provide that equipment to clients, whatever your state process for doing so is, that's fine. They won't interfere in that regard. Wish they would, but they won't.
Anyone else? Ed Crespin? We'll give the floor, mic to Ed Crespin. Ed, we'll give it to Ed.
Thank you, Ed. Since I'm on the Rehabilitation Committee, I support this amendment or the resolution. It's really vital for our services, for our counselors to provide services to our consumers, so this is a very good resolution.
Thank you. Ed is the chair of our Rehab Committee, so thank you for that. Any other discussion? All those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
We're on the last advocacy-related resolution, and we have our two other ones. This is number 5, and this came to us from Charles Navarrete. It relates to BEP. Whereas California law establishes the Business Enterprise Program for the Blind, BEP, under the administration of the Department of Rehabilitation, DOR. Do you ever feel like we're in alphabet soup world here? Pursuant to which vendors who are blind or have low vision, in order to be provided with entrepreneurial opportunities, are given a preference to operate cafeterias, vending machines, and vending stands in state buildings, and in other public facilities to the extent agreed to by non-state government entities. And whereas, in recent decades, the state has failed to identify, pursue, and develop new BEP locations, and to work vigorously for the retention of existing locations. And whereas, one such example has recently occurred with respect to the newly constructed Long Beach Superior Court building, and whereas, in this instance, the state entered into a public-private partnership for the construction of the building, under which the private entity authorized to operate the building was permitted to, and indeed did, contract with a private party rather than BEP to operate the building's vending facility. Whereas the department has failed to aggressively seek opportunities in such areas as city and county facilities, community colleges, and state post-secondary institutions. And whereas one such example is the failure of the department to work with the city of Los Angeles to allow blind vendors to operate facilities at the Los Angeles International Airport. And whereas these policies and practices have led to a dramatic decrease in BE locations from over 300 to approximately 100. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization advocate with the legislature, the governor, and the Department of Rehabilitation in order to reverse the long-standing failure of the state to identify, pursue, and develop new BEP locations, as well as to vigorously strive to retain existing locations. And the committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Any discussion? Okay, Christy has discussion, and then was that Margie back there? That was Andrea. Okay. Christy first, and then we'll go to Margie. Andrea.
I would entertain a friendly amendment to also add state hospitals and state prisons.
Does the chair consider that friendly?
Are there... In the state hospitals and state prison, it's my understanding that they've been putting them in. Tell me the issue there.
No. Is it the same issue? They have not?
They have vendorized private organizations, and I have been trying to get us into state hospitals for the 15 years plus that I've been in state hospital service. Used to be Department of Mental Health, now it's state hospitals. I don't know if they're in the prisons or not. I kind of doubt it.
They're in many prisons. I don't know if they're in all of them. I don't know if David Hanlon's here could answer that. But.
One
but moment. I'd like to see this as a friendly amendment to include state hospitals and prisons.
Okay, let me see where it could go. Well, why don't you bring this, Margie, while I'm looking for a place to put it.
Margie, was it specifically to this discussion? Okay, then Andrea would be before you.
We'll let her, if she wants to talk while I'm looking for a spot to put it.
Andrea first.
Okay,
I just had a quick comment in reference to the Long Beach situation. There was a really nice article that somebody posted to the CCB list, and I shared it with lots of people about the guy who was evicted. He has been placed in another location, but I really thought it was a lovely article, and I highly encourage you all, if you want to know more about this situation, to please, it was within the last week. And it was from the Long Beach paper, and it was really, he just sounds like a great guy. It was really nicely done. And how he had established relationships with the people that he worked with and with the people who used that courthouse and had to let his cook go and, you know, various things. It was just great.
Let's give it over to Margie.
I would like to offer what I would consider a friendly amendment.
Could you, okay. Margie, hold on for a second.
Hold on 1 second.
Unless it's the same as she is, can you let me do that one first?
Please do that one first.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Otherwise, we're really
how about...
Okay. Whereas...
Okay, here we go. Here's Jeff.
I think I'm okay.
He's
whereas the
it.
Department has failed to aggressively seek opportunities in such areas as city and county facilities, state hospitals and prisons... And then we go on to community colleges, et cetera, et cetera. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to, and I know this is sort of out of the ordinary, but if I could do it, I'm going to check with Roy Harmon as to whether prisons is appropriate. And if it's not, because it's a friendly amendment, but if they are doing all the state prisons, I wouldn't want to look.
Wait.
Okay, you do?
You know for sure of
okay,
a
thank
prison
you. Then
or
I'll
it's not.
Then no problem with it.
Okay.
Christy.
Okay. Are you ready for Margie? Jeff, are you
yeah.
ready for
yes,
Margie?
I am.
Okay, go ahead, Margie.
Mr. Chair, I would like to offer an additional friendly amendment to include VA facilities. Now, let me explain this for a second. Many of us know that the cafeterias at VA facilities are ran through... canteen service, which we cannot change that. But there are many VA facilities that have additional vending stand type places. For example, the San Francisco VA opened up this wonderful little gift shop and gave it to a private community vendor. And that's happening throughout the VAs. Palo Alto VA, when they opened up their new canteen service, brought in Burger King and other places such as that. And that does not fall under canteen service. So where in VA hospitals, and well, any VA facility, not just hospitals, but I do believe where they do not fall under canteen services, that our blind vendors should be in there, not commercial businesses. Thank you.
So, Margie, would you accept this? Along, it's this whole list of the community colleges and all the other people's. Federal facilities, including those of the Veterans Administration. Is
yes.
that is that a, okay with you?
You might,
or Department of Veterans Affairs,
might,
or how do you
want to? You might want to say, including VA facilities where canteen services does not apply, because I can see us sending this out, and it's, they're going to go, well, canteen service takes over.
How about including appropriate veteran? Okay, so including those of the Veterans Administration. How does it rewear? Where what canteen?
Where canteen service does not apply.
Service does not apply. Okay.
Thank you.
In.
Okay. Thank you, Margie. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the resolution with the friendly amendments signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Who seeks the floor? Mitch. It's you.
Jeff,
Yeah.
Go ahead. Assuming, we're getting a mic. There you go.
Assuming you are still on the National Resolutions Committee, while I wouldn't suggest this entire resolution go to the ACB Resolutions Committee, I think the fact that there are federal facilities such as the Veterans Administration, which do not participate in the Randolph-Shepard program, probably should engender a specific and separate resolution to be addressed in Las Vegas next summer.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with you. Okay.
Thank you. I will definitely
keep that on the front burner when the time gets a little closer.
Veterans Affairs, Roger just said.
That is the proper term for the
Veterans
department.
Affairs. Okay.
Yeah.
Department.
I'll change it, Margie. I know better, even if I didn't.
Okay.
Do it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
We're now to our last ones, and in many ways our most important. 2013 B4 volunteers. Where's the efforts of the volunteers at the fall 2013 conference and convention? The California Council of the Blind have helped to make this event an unqualified success. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization thanks and commends each and every volunteer for their outstanding work at the fall 2013 conference and convention of the California Council of the Blind. And boy, there were a bunch of them, too. So whoever got them, thank you very much for your work. And the committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Yes.
Okay, we're now to number 7. Thinking about Scrabble here, I've got a double word. Resolved by the California Council of the Blind and Convention Assembled this 20th day of October, etc., etc., that this organization extends its profound appreciation to the hotel staff of the San Diego Del Mar Marriott Hotel for their outstanding work. And yes, indeed, they have been. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay, I want to very quickly, and I wrote down some names, so I want to do this. I'm going to thank a lot of the people that came in to our committee. Before I thank my committee members, they included Donna, who's really a member of our committee anyway, Mitch, Ken, who we want back on our committee, Vita, Frank, and there were others. There were others, but those are just a few of them. Committee members, Gene, Charles, Gabe, Linda, Lena, and Robert. Did I miss someone? I don't think I did. Anyway, I want to thank you all for your hard work that you always give, and we have a great working committee. So, again, thank you to the committee.
Okay, I also wish to thank our committee chair, who does a great, great job chairing. Thank you very, very much. Okay. Oh, do we have a thank you. Thank you, Lena. And we have second. Any discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Report accepted. Thank you. Okay. At this time, I'm going to give the microphone over to our treasurer, unless he needs me to do a door prize while he gets ready. All right. Let's do a door prize. Okay. I should just keep them right here in the chair next to me. Okay. She needs some money. So do we all. All righty. So, okay, we are going to give away a Harry and David snack box. along with a, you didn't see, look, he didn't see me pointing. Ooh, a cell phone. No door prize for you. Oh. See, Roger said I mean. Okay, Harry and David box and a butt strut bag with a chill mat. God, I'm finding all kinds of uses for these. Man, oh, man. And I don't know, the bucket's not in front of me, so it went away. I was going to say the bucket grew legs. Who do we have? I'll take it. Connie Cassiano. Not in the room. Ron Smith. Not in the room. Gussie Morgan. Are you still here? Not in the room. Larry Freeman. Yay, Larry! Ray, yay! All right. Okay. Peter, are you ready or do we do another? Peter's ready. Peter's ready. Uh-oh. Of course. Okay, Peter. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Again, basically all the treasurer's reports are available in your selected formats of choice. So if you're interested in obtaining CCB treasurer's reports, please contact the office. Thank you. And I'm going to give a few summaries here. The balance sheet for the as of August 31st, 2013. Our total assets are $1,057,243. The income statement for the period January 1st to August 31st, 2013. Excuse me. Total income is $112,515. Our expenses for the period are total income $112,515. Total expenses $157,928. Net ordinary income is a negative $45,413. During this period, we had other non-operating income in the amount of $32,780. If you add the operating and non-operating income less the expenses, the net income for the period ending August 31st, 2013 is $12,633. Negative. Sorry about that. And just two more figures. For the period, just to let you guys know what our budget is. For income, for the whole year,
It was $194,000 on the expense side. It was $194,000, and I lost my... 1 second. Expense budget was $303,970, and this concludes the summary of my treasurer's report.
Do we have actually a motion? Do we have a motion and a second? A motion to accept? Do we have a second? Do we have discussion? Steve Mendelson, if we can get a mic over to Steve.
Very quick. Peter, I just want to know if any part of the $194,000 projected 2013 income.
What? You're not.
Hold on 1 sec. The mic isn't. And if you could speak a little slower, because it's hard for some folks to understand.
I just wanted to know if any portion of the projected 2013 $194,000 income came from anticipated net profits from the Mutt-Strutt.
If any of the income came from anticipated profits
income.
That we anticipated
yes.
from Mutt-Strutt.
Yes, it did, because in our budget we budgeted.
Yes, they did.
Like $64,000 for the Mutt-Strutt. And basically, the total income for the Mutt-Strutt was $23,586. But in addition to that, we're getting $2,500 from Westfield Mall, another $500 from West Covina Lions Club, and there'll be a reduction in expenses in the amount of $1,000.
And we also sold Mutt-Strutt items this weekend as well at the board table.
Let me give you that exciting figure.
Oh, what is it?
We sold $537 worth of Mutt-Strutt products.
So we add that to the profits, the donation that came into L.A., we were able to bring it up here, and the shirts and everything else. Thank you all for your support on that this weekend. And yeah, whoever manned the table.
Are there any more questions?
More discussion? Well, I have to say, I'm taking personal privilege here. We did have some board members who manned the table, but my sister, Debbie Cordero, who all of you got to meet this weekend, was there. And I don't think very many people said no to her. Thank you all. Okay, hearing no discussion, all those in favor of accepting the report, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Peter, is there anything else that you...
Not at this time.
Not at this time. Okay. Okay. At this time, I would like to know if any committee members would like to share briefly with the body anything on their committee reports. Linda. And keep in mind, we'll definitely be adjourning at noon, so it's about 17.
Don't worry, gang. I'm not going to read the report again today.
So, thank you for this opportunity. It would have somewhat come under announcements, but I know that people would be herding out the door, so it's nice to be able to do that while you're still sitting down. We have a survey in the Blind Californian. It is very, very important that you take a moment to complete it and send it in or call it in, however you choose to convey to us. We have several options for submitting the survey. It's incredibly important in terms of planning the future of the BC, both in terms of what formats are available and in terms of the content and delivery. The BC is in flux. We want to take it in a wonderful new direction, but we need your guidance to do that. And I'm going to say specifically to you cassette folks, we may be sending you an individual letter because I really want numbers.
Thank you, Madam Publications Chair. Anything else from committee chairs? Okay, I heard three ladies off to the right. I think Artis.
Okay, this is Artis, CCB Membership Chair. I would like all chapters and affiliates to please send me email addresses of those that you want on the membership email discussion list. And then also I'd like to have more discussion on that list. So thank you.
Pam Pology, Credentials Chair.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to thank everyone for getting all their information in on time for this convention. And everyone here was seated because of that. And would like to thank Ed for all of his help in helping me as we made conference calls to tweak the information once we got it so we have everything and our T's are crossed and our I's are dotted. So I want to go on record as to reminding you that, I guess, taking into consideration the apparent change in the Constitution, that the next convention beginning on April 10th, that means that our credentials will be due on March 11th. That doesn't mean you can't get them in sooner, if you would like. and I wish you would, because, you know, it doesn't give us a lot of time. That 45 days really did help. So anyway, I really appreciate you guys, and I appreciate you guys coming in at 8 a.m., on Friday, we had a great turnout, and let's make a date to do that on the 11th at 8 a.m. We got a date, and let's get together as the Beach Boys say and do it again. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. I heard Vita Zavali, and there was a fourth lady, I think, after Vita. Oh, it was Ed? Was it Ed? No. Go ahead, Vita. That's why I said, I'm like, was it Ed? Go ahead, Vita.
Hello. You may have heard this many times now, but never hurts to hear it again. We are migrating to a new website, which will allow us more flexibility in our tools and services, so you'll be hearing more and more and more about that. We will be sending out the survey again because we only received 28 responses. And truthfully, in such a huge organization, it is so important for us to get as many surveys back as possible so that we know what you're looking for. Please, please fill them out. If we don't know what you want, you can't tell me next year. But I said, right? And secondly, really important again, and we'll continue to send this message out. The website will be under construction from November 2nd through November 9th, which means when you go to the website, you may or may not find what you need. And also very, very, very important, if you're using a listserv to primarily communicate with the people in your group, I would strongly, strongly suggest that during that 1 week that you use email, direct email to each other or a phone tree or some other method. So if you're the moderator, it may be
maybe a time, right now is the time to figure out how you're going to communicate during that 1 week. Now, I'm not saying that if you do use the listserv that the information will not get to the person, but if it's being used while we're transferring the files, there is definitely a possibility that the email may not get to everyone. So
she's still saying so. Oh. Go ahead, continue, Vita.
How about so, dot, dot, dot? Okay, I'll take questions.
Okay, I heard, hold on 1 second. Microphone. Ed's running. Donna Sanchez, I believe it was.
I looked at the survey and I read it. And I put it aside because the way the survey is stated and everything, it, to me it came across that it was more for presidents and chapter presidents and to fill out the information. It was not for us individually.
If I could jump in because I had someone else contact me directly as well and say, is this just for presidents? I didn't ask them why they asked. I just said, we encourage each and every one of you to fill it out.
If you read the top of the form, it encourages everyone to complete it. I will make some changes in it. I apologize if it came across as only people in leadership should complete it. It absolutely does not mean that. The website belongs to everyone, and I sincerely mean that. Please put your comments. There are comment sections. We'll change it some as well from other comments that we've received. And one of the big items will be what will draw you to the website. That's just going to be a direct question, okay. What will draw you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Linda?
Okay, Vita, a specific question about CCBL, our vigorously trafficked fun list. What is happening with that one during the week? I understand smaller lists that do communications will have to find other options. Is CCBL being prioritized as for early adoption under the new plan? Will there be an announcement on that list that it might be in transition for a little while? What's your plan for that?
My plan is to send this announcement that's been in the California Connection for the past 3 weeks to all of the lists. Let me not say that. To all of the major lists. I'm expecting that for the committee lists and chapter/affiliate lists that their leaders will let them know. But for certainly for CCB-L, we will send a message out. The other thing I'm going to try to do specifically, because I know that's a very large list, is come up with a time frame. Maybe I can actually give it a day, a particular day. So I will definitely do my best to try to minimize the time, especially for that list, so it's not any time during that week. Does that help? Okay.
Okay. Anything else from other committees? Thank you, Madam Chairs. Okay. At this point, I'd like to ask if we have any new business coming. Margie?
Thank you very much. I would like to speak to something that's very near and dear to my heart. I'm a very patriotic person, and it breaks my heart that at these conventions we stand and honor our flag without having a flag in the front of our room. And I would like to make a motion that from every convention here on out, if we're going to continue to do the Pledge of Allegiance, that we make darn sure that we have a flag. And if we don't own one, I'll be happy to donate it.
Okay. Mitch.
Margie, I wish it were that easy. The problem, hold on. The problem with using our own flag is there are very specific rules about its storage, its maintenance, etc., etc. I think Ed's got more than enough to do without having to deal with how we store and transfer and fold a flag and unfold it and furl it and unfurl it. I think that we should do everything in our power to have a flag in the room, but I think our responsibility needs to stop short of us acquiring a flag.
One thing to speak to what you're saying, Margie, that we can do is in the convention committee to let every local convention committee know that we strongly encourage you to get at least one scout troop out there to have colors. We frequently do this in Sacramento and in other localities, but maybe we ought to try and make sure it happens every time.
Before I go to the floor, what I'm going to say is that I agree that we need to encourage the local area of where we are in attendance at convention. And what I would say is it will happen if all of you help us make it happen. Meaning when we're in the local area, you know. Okay, now that was Jean and then Charlene, and I'm not sure who else I heard.
Okay.
Needs to be about this.
Just for those who are not involved in the process, we do encourage the local chapters to do that. We also inquire with the hotel if they have it. It is something that is something that brings to our attention. Sometimes, unfortunately, the color guards not always able to come. There's sometimes some challenges there. And I realize...
Can we please have quiet on the floor? Okay, whoever's in the back of the room, please take it outside if you need to talk. Go ahead, Gene.
We will continue to try and make the have a flag available through the different sessions, but we can do what we can, and it's not being of disrespect. Sometimes things do fall apart and where we can't get it. Unexpectedly, sometimes we don't know until the
very moment. And can we close that back door, please?
So, thank you.
Thank you. Charlene, and we definitely want to respect the flag in the way that it is meant to be respected. So, that is a concern. Go ahead, Charlene.
My comment is in stating scouts, because there are other color guards. The police have color guards. The Marines have color guards. And so my thing is, but Jeff said to have scouts, and my thing would be to have...
Wait, Gene. Wait.
I know you had the Marines, because, you know, or we have. But my thing is to just to say a color guard and not to give from what direction it comes.
And that is fine. Let me give it over to Margie. A color guard. And what we'll need from you guys in the local area just automatically... To get that information to us, because there have been many attempts to contact folks,
so,
and sometimes we're not successful. Go ahead, Margie.
Thank you. By no means was my motion intended to point my fingers at our hardworking convention committee. I know how hard it is, and I, you know, my motion, and I will reiterate it, that it will second it. If we do not have a flag, I'm asking that we suspend the Pledge of Allegiance. I find it extremely disrespectful to our flag, to Old Glory, to do the Pledge of Allegiance when we don't have it in the front of the room. So when we can have it, we should do it.
Thank you. Okay. What we will do, and did someone else want the floor? Okay, not for this. Okay. Thank you, everyone who has shared their comments. We all have a great love and respect for our flag, and we will be contacting you locally where we have our conventions. In fact, Sacramento, that's where we're going to be in April, so you guys will need to help us make sure it happens. Pamela Metz? Oh, was that a motion? That's right, that was a motion. And we have a second? More discussion? Okay. Margie.
Thank you. My motion is that if we are going to do the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States flag, that we are to have a flag in the front of our convention hall. If we are unable to get a flag, we suspend with stating the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay, we have discussion. Jeff Tom.
Margie, I hate to disagree with you because that's the end of a convention, but I'm going to. I know where you're coming from, but I vehemently feel it is more patriotic to say that Pledge of Allegiance even with the flag not there than to ignore it at all. I mean, I know we need to have the flag. I've gotten several color guards, and Leslie has, and other people have. I know we should have one every time if we can. But I still think I'd rather have it said than not at all.
Any more discussion on the motion? Okay, so hearing no discussion. Cell phone. Thank you. Hearing no further discussion, if you vote to support the motion, that will mean that if we're not able to get a flag for whatever reason, we will suspend the pledge and will not say it at convention. If you vote no on the motion, then that will mean that we will always say the pledge, whether there's a flag or not in the room. And we will definitely try as hard as we can to get one. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The noes have it. Okay. Thank you, Margie, as well, because I know you understand how hard the convention committee tries. So thank you for that. All right. Pam Metz. I didn't say Ken, deaf man. Hush, hush, hush.
Okay. Hi, you guys. As outgoing president of GDUC and what am I now? Oh. Immediate past president of GDUC, I would love to thank not only the GDUC board for all the hard work we put into this summer, but I also would like to thank the CCB board for backing us in the work that we had to do to correct the problem for GDUC. And I would also like to thank Judy and Roger for being on every call we had to do and giving us their 2 cents, even sometimes when we didn't want to hear their 2 cents. But I really appreciate all the hard work that Vita, myself, David, Nellie, then Margie and Lynn put into correcting the problems with the GDUC board. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Do we have any other new business? Do we have any old business? And I am thinking we do not. Okay. Before we move to adjourn, I want to give folks the chance if there's any public comment, because I definitely believe in giving public comment, whether it's popular or not. Mike Keithley.
Hi.
I want to thank the people responsible for keeping the ALD system working. I know it's an extra bit of work to do, but but for me at least, it was working great, this convention, and I really appreciate it. Thank you.
That thanks definitely goes to our audio crew, Brooks and Ronnie. Thank you. That was beautiful. Christy Crespin seeks the floor.
In the interest of saving time and money, what about the name tags, and are you collecting them for reuse and recycling?
We do have volunteers at the door, so when you leave, there will be a volunteer there to collect your badges. So thank you for that question. Any more public comment from the floor? Okay. Thank you. Well, thanks to all of you. Thanks to all of you.
Donna, can I make a quick announcement?
Peter.
Apparently, Larry in room 314 left his Braille note taker.
Now, Roger says I'm mean. Everyone else is saying, ooh, door prize. Whoa. Okay.
I'm not sure which letter.
I know. Okay. Any other public comments? Okay. Why don't we do the rest of our door prizes before we adjourn, huh? And while Ed's getting fixed up logistically, I want to let you know something that very quickly that I aired on during my report. I want to let you all know that starting next year, we in CCB are going to do a very, very, it's going to be put forward in a major way because we've definitely heard the membership. We will be having leadership training at the convention in April. And yes, so we're going to need to work out those logistics. We'll be calling on you, but for sure Frank Welty and Artis Bazin will be on that group to help work to put it together. So for our 80th, we're going to have a dynamite, awesome, great, wonderful leadership training for everyone. So let me pick a door prize. And if anyone wishes to help out with that, I want you to contact me after the convention because you know how to get a hold of me. And let's see who that first. Tuan Nguyen, are you in the room? Tuan is in the room. Let's get Tuan a Mutt Strap bag and a bag of fudge to put in that Mutt Strap bag. Woo! Yes. All righty. We have another door prize, and I'm going to pick a name because we're supposed to have two people up here when we're doing door prizes so it could be quicker. All right. Perfect. All right. Oh, our next door prize is we have a bag of fudge. We also have a CD and the CD is, we have, a bag of fudge, recipes from Artis Bazin CD, and that goes to Linda Sporner. Are you in the room? Maria Casanova, are you in the room? Sylvia Lopez, oh, I know she left yesterday. Sam Doherty, are you in the room? Sam's in the room! A bag of fudge. Raise your hand, please. All righty. That's going to be the last. The fudge, I believe, is made by our own Katrina McCurdy.
Harry and David Fox are goodies. Uh-huh. We have a braille deck.
Okay, we have a deck of we have a deck of braille playing cards, and we have another CD that. And what does it say? Oh, they're all recipes. All right. Family's favorites, so let's see who gets that. James Chamberlain. Yay! Deck of playing cards. All right. Okay. So we have, that's free. Oh, do I want your fudge? Somebody beat you to it this time. I got somebody else's fudge. I think it was Artis. All righty. Let's do another recipe CD from Artis. Yolanda Escandon. Jean Brannon. Bernice Kandarian. Yay! We have a Harry and David snack box. Ooh, yum, yum. Let's see who gets that one. I got it, and I picked my own. Wow. She's, oh, check that ticket, yeah. Well, the last door prize that we have today. Before I draw for the last door prize, that's money, 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 money. What did I say? $50. Before I make that announcement, before you leave, those who have ALDs, take them to the back audio table to give to Brooks and Ronnie before you leave. As you're going out toward the door, they're on the far right-hand corner in the back. So, for $50, Bonnie Rennie, are you in the room? Oh, she left. Aisha Wendt, are you in the room? Nope. Robert, you're going to need to tell her that because she wasn't in here, she lost $50. Albert Contreras? Oh, he's... Anthony Signorello. Oh, all right. All righty, folks, do we have a motion? And a second to adjourn. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next year at our 80th in Sacramento.